Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Fusaw.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife. I've been informed I have to start with, hey, ghosties.
Hey, ghosties.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to take me a minute to get used to this.
No, we're going
to
do it.
Hey, Danielle.
Hi, Eva. How are you doing?
I'm good. I got two things that just happened. Yeah. First off, like, if you're watching the video of this, y'all, it's tank top season.
Tank top season. I'm wearing long sleeves.
It was 35 degrees and covered in pollen in the city of Columbia two days ago. But right now I'm wearing a tank top and I feel good about it.
That's okay.
I'm a tank top girly.
I'm all for it.
And also we did sound check first try.
Knock on wood. I hope you hear that. Don't know, but the sound check went okay. So you should hear it.
This is what, our 20th episode?
This might be, or we're close to it. Let's see. Actually, I'm going to look it up. This is episode 19.
And we just got our soundtrack right.
That's a bonus episode. So, I mean.
Probably like 22, 23.
Yeah. We're getting good at this, guys.
Look at it. It is raining again in Columbia. So Eva is very grumpy because my bangs are doing weird stuff. I don't have a purple comb to talk about today.
You do have a mermaid makeup case.
Yeah. My mom gave me this a long time ago.
There you go. So you can get freshened up on our podcast.
Oh, no. It's got all my cords in it.
Oh, never mind. I thought your makeup was in there.
No. You think my makeup can be contained?
We brought cords today.
To a bag that size?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I could. Okay, I love that. That's the biggest judgment.
Danielle, I'm very high maintenance. Like, I don't make any qualms about it.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I don't need much bigger of a bag than that, but my brushes don't even fit in there.
Okay, so if you're packing for a conference.
Oh, it's the worst.
Really? Do you need a bag bigger than that?
For my makeup?
Yeah.
I need a bag bigger than that for my makeup if I'm just, like, spending the night somewhere.
Really?
Yes.
What do you have, like... What's in this?
We gonna go through it?
No, we're not.
No, I mean,
we're
can
stay on top.
No, people can hear this. If I have to go to a conference, is there a gala at the conference?
Okay. No, let's talk about our upcoming one.
Okay. And this will get into the topic today, guys, is networking. So this is a segue.
That intentionally.
Oh, did you? Look at her. She fooled me.
You would never know. But okay, so let's say you're packing for our upcoming trip to Richmond.
Okay, so I want to do it this way. Let's talk about what I'm going to pack for this district conference, what I packed for the district conference 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then what I'm packing for St. Louis.
Okay.
Or, sorry.
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City was St. Louis last year.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. All right. So this time, all right, the conference this year is in Richmond.
Yes.
It's in a hotel.
Yes.
So I will pack. I need a bigger makeup bag than that. Absolutely. So I'll pack my makeup bag. I have to take probably 15 bottles of various things.
I'm sorry. What do you mean? 15 bottles of various things?
Like a shampoo, a conditioner, dry shampoo, like a workable hairspray. I need a lotion. I have a different face lotion. I have a makeup remover. I have disposable contacts now, so I don't need contact solution. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
15. 15 things?
We'll count when I go to pack. I have two types of lotion for my body.
We'll do photos without context and we'll do a photo of your travel bag.
And then for shoes, this should be fine. I should be able to get away with two pairs of shoes.
Okay. For a couple days. Funny. So you'll do millions of bottles of makeup.
Shoes take up more space.
Shoes?
This is what I learned this last year when I went to St. Louis for AdMerica.
Yeah.
I picked my shoes out.
First.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I built my outfits around my shoes because otherwise, God help you, if you're driving somewhere with me and I'm not constrained by an airplane.
Yeah.
So whoever's riding with me to Richmond, I'll probably say four.
That is something. Yeah. When I'm
four
doing
pairs of shoes.
Work travel, I mean, in general, mm-hmm. I wear a lot of black, but work travel, I wear mostly black just so I don't have to change purse or shoes, and I can just get away with black purses and black shoes the entire time.
Oh, my shoes and my purses are all pretty neutral.
Yeah.
I let that go a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do anything. God bless if it's a Navy. That's not making any of my work trips. It's not going to match anything.
I'll probably take a pair of wedge sandals and I'll wear a pair of sneakers and I might take a pair of boots if I have a dress that looks good with boots.
Yeah. It gets tricky too when there's a gala attached.
So if there's a gala, oh God, if there's a gala, you're lucky if I only take one dress. I sometimes take two or three dresses.
And I like a dress that folds well.
Mm-hmm. All my dresses fold well.
Sequins fold.
They fold great.
Real well.
I only take one pair of gala shoes.
Yeah.
Now,
I will say
this. Last year when I went to St. Louis, I took 3 or 4 pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
I took a backup of one of my pairs, and I'm glad because it broke when I got there.
Oh, well, good thing you had a backup.
Lindsay was trying to tell me how to fix my shoe with nail glue.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't work.
So I was like, did that work?
It didn't work. It's not Lindsay's fault. It didn't work. It just didn't work.
I also believe Lindsay would know how to fix a shoe.
Yeah, she's like, do you have nail glue? It's like, actually, I do. But yeah, and then when I packed for District 2 years ago, I'm going to forever talk about this trip.
Yeah.
Because it was in the woods.
Yeah, we were camping.
I packed makeup. I wore makeup every day.
Did you?
I absolutely did.
I think I put on some powder maybe the day I had to speak at 7 a.m.
I mean, I like didn't do eyeliner and like mascara because that's going to sweat off. But like,
yeah,
I did a foundation. I did a contour. I did a lip and I did.
Look at you.
Eyeshadow.
That was, I gave the bare minimum that conference. I believe I even spoke in workout leggings because I'm like, we're at camp. I'm not giving you anything.
Well, I mean, to be fair, in the thing, it did say like the registration or like the whatever. It was like, wear whatever you want. So I do clearly remember packing because it was hot. It was August. And I remember
outside
wearing a lot of cutoff shorts. And there were so many people I met at that conference that I've since met again later. And like all of them, like, I'm like, that was not my best foot forward, like jorts and a t-shirt.
Okay.
And sneakers is not, Danielle, that is not my brand.
This is a good transition into our topic.
What my brand is. I also wore big old earrings in every single outfit. I didn't care.
But we're talking about networking.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of factors that go into play. Mm-hmm. When
like what you wear.
What you wear is indeed one of those factors. Mm-hmm. How you look, your appearance, all the things that matter when you go into networking events. Mm-hmm. Because I have seen networking make and break some people.
Well, and I think about stuff like what bag am I going to carry?
Yeah.
Because I have some designer bags. And
yes.
Sometimes I don't want that to be the impression I'm giving.
Okay. No, this is a good topic too.
And sometimes I don't care.
Yeah.
But sometimes because they don't know that I bought that bag 10 years ago and I carry it every day and I've gotten every penny out of it. And like, you know, like that was an investment for me.
Yes.
Sometimes they just see an expensive bag and I don't necessarily want that associated with what I'm doing. Sometimes I don't care.
Yes.
Sometimes it doesn't matter.
I am the same way with my wedding and engagement ring.
Really?
Yeah. I don't wear it a lot.
Huh.
I've never noticed.
Yeah.
And it's not, there's no reason behind why I'm not wearing it.
Will Sally, please call into the podcast.
But
Eva has questions.
As a businesswoman, I have already had conversations with people where they know I'm married and my husband has a successful career.
Oh, so they think that you're
it's a little sad thing. Well, at least you have a fallback plan.
Yeah.
And that's not me. There's nothing about me that is even looked at as an option.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want people to see this piece of jewelry and associate it with anything and think anything about it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'm the same way. So there's little things like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I want that to be their first impression?
Well, and like, I will be careful how I talk about like my son's school schedule.
Yes.
So like, he is not in aftercare. And that's just a decision that I made. But when I tell people that, I then feel like I have to qualify that I still work full time.
Yeah.
Like I'm still working a lot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it sounds like this is just like a little side thing for me. And it's not. This is my livelihood.
Yeah.
Like this pays my bill. This,
exactly.
This puts food on my table.
No, that's a good point too about your son's schedule, because I also feel like I'm overly cautious sometimes about bringing up like if my daughter doesn't have school or things like that, because I don't want, I get worried that my client might think that I'm not going to be working on something.
Right.
I'm not going to be available as much.
Right.
Just because I have, you know, I'm childcare for the day. Right. And so therefore I overly think, you know, what are they going to think? Because I have to feel like if I was a man, that wouldn't even be part of the conversation most times.
So I have that thought all the time as well.
Yeah.
I do go ahead and mention it though.
Yeah. Set the expectation.
Well, part of it is because like, I need people to understand that this is my job and it's very important, but I have a very fluid and flexible schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's brought me to crossroad conversations with clients
Sure.
where they really do need somebody available, like a traditional 8 to 5.
Yeah.
They like a lot of touch points. They like a lot of meetings and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's no hard feelings in it if it doesn't work out. Because my schedule doesn't work.
It's just not the right fit then.
But I just sent out all my notifications last night to my clients that I'm going to be out next week because my son's on spring break.
Right.
And I'm taking him to the beach. Now, some of them I added, like, you know, I'll have my laptop. If I have to work a little bit, it's no big deal. Like, some of them I have steady work. So I'm like, yes, your newsletter's still going to go out on.
Yeah, I'm still going to get all the things done.
Or some of them I'm like, if something really does come up, like, you know, I'm not online all day, but text me and I'll get to it when I get to it. Because, you know, we're beaching it.
Yep.
Right. Like, we might make one day trip, but like, anyways, it's usually well received. It's fine. But like, I do think there's this like hurdle you have to get over. Not you, like the collective you. Yes. And it's something that I still work on because like, I feel like as women, we feel like we have to apologize for having families. Mm-hmm. And that apology may be quiet and it may be subtle, but we feel like we have to apologize for having families. And like, I want to give this impression to people that like, I'm not going to apologize for having a family.
No.
And if that doesn't work, and that's not even in a saying like, you don't support my family.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, maybe my work model where like I'm getting stuff done at midnight, or I was up at 5 a.m. today making templates for a client. If that doesn't work for you, that's fine. I'm actually happy to refer you to somebody with a more traditional schedule.
Sure.
I had that problem when I wasn't freelancing.
Yeah.
And then I think too, I mean, I don't know that I don't think either of us can speak to it, but then I think there are women too that like feel bad even if they don't have kids. Right. Like, I think it's just tricky, right? Like, we play by a different set of rules.
And that was one thing. I remember Jane Moss, who wrote Mad Women, and she came to speak at AAF Midlands luncheon years and years and years ago. And she had mentioned, because she was part of the ad world back in the 1960s when it was crazy.
There's a lot in that book. There's a lot happening.
But one of the things that she said in the luncheon is, you know, part of being a working woman is there's this strong guilt when you're not with your kid.
Yeah.
But when you're with your kid, there's a strong guilt because you're not working.
Yeah.
And it's just like this constant give and take because you feel like you're never able to kind of give all of yourself at either way without feeling all this guilt for what you're not giving to.
Right.
And
we
have to deal with that constantly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people just, you know, we don't talk about it, but we're all dealing with it.
Yeah.
All of us are dealing with it.
Yeah. And it's hard because like, you know, so like, what are your options, right? Whether you're freelancing or you're in like a traditional, like, you know, employer, employee environment. So what are your options? Your options are to grind it out and do the traditional 8 to 5, 8 to 6, whatever it is, and make accommodations for your family around that. Or your other option is to figure out some sort of flexibility, whether that's via your employer or via your own schedule freelancing. And then like that brings its own set of challenges, right? Because flexibility doesn't mean it's easier.
No, by no means. And you know, you kind of touched upon this. I might be able to be more flexible in my schedule now.
Right.
Because I get to choose my working hours.
Yeah.
And I get to choose the days that I'm working, the days I'm not working. And that might depend on my daughter's schedule.
Right.
That doesn't mean my clients are more flexible.
Right.
They might still, you know, they're still doing their 8 to 5s.
Yeah.
Or their 8 to 6s is more realistic.
Yeah.
So just because I'm more flexible, it doesn't mean they are.
Yeah.
So you have to be flexible to them not being flexible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do also feel like post pandemic, I think people are a lot more understanding.
Way more understanding.
It's just a lot more like, I don't really ever get pushback. Like when I say something's going on with my son or whatever, and people are very understanding. And I'm usually like, look, I got to go get him, but like, I will be online and doing this or whatever. But I think like once everybody was having to work from home with a kid running around.
Yeah.
I get it.
I said it leveled the playing field in so many ways, but it was nice because, and we bring this up in our becoming a ghost boss topic, but the pandemic caused a huge increase in people going full-time freelance and a huge increase in people doing side gig freelance. Mm-hmm. And the nice part of that is we also had in there that 90% of companies will see an advantage of working with a mixed workforce of free time, freelance and full-time employees. And so I think the pandemic really kind of shined the light on being able to be more flexible with your workforce. And that's been beneficial because we're allowed to be a little bit more flexible and it's more understanding now.
Yeah.
Now I do see trends where we're kind of getting back into our old habits. We're kind of getting back into our old ways, you know, especially as people return back to a more traditional pre-pandemic workforce where they're going back to the office, they're having set days a week in there.
Right.
And seeing that more, but I do think all of us that had to work during the pandemic, especially those of us that have kids, we have a much better understanding now of being able to be more patient and be more flexible with everyone that we're working with.
Yeah. I do think somebody said this to me a long time ago, very insightful because he was like a friend of mine when I was like 22 years old. He said, I work to live. I don't live to work.
Yeah.
Like, my job's important to me, but like, it's not the only thing that I do.
Right.
And at 22, like that didn't really impact me as much because like, what was I doing when I got off work?
Yeah. You're like, I'm living life.
Some of y'all knew me back then. I was a mood. But that's something that I think about a lot. And I also think about that, you know, in previous episodes, I talk about the capital D designer.
Yeah.
Last week, y'all saw my glasses.
Yeah. You had the cool glasses.
I told you that I'm cool.
I have glasses. I'm cool.
I have glasses.
I'm not cool because I have good eyesight.
Do you not wear glasses?
No.
You're like the only designer I know that doesn't need contacts or glasses.
Which is amazing considering how I have looked at a computer screen like majority of my life.
I was blind long before I was a designer. I have not been able to see for a very long time.
Well, you know, I just turned 39. Everyone told me once I hit 40, then it all goes.
So oh, no, I'm
just wait. I have exactly 360 some days.
I mean, I guess I turned 40 in middle school then because I haven't been able to see since like eighth grade. But yeah, so part of like this concept of a capital D designer that I had is that I never saw any women in being like as a designer who had children.
Well,
like not ever. And what I mean by that is like when I was when the touch points that we saw, particularly in the late 90s and early 2000s, when we were in high school and we were in college and we were becoming these people. First off, you did not see many women designers. There were some, there were several, but there were more men than women. Mm-hmm. And the women that you saw anything about now, and to be fair, the men also did not talk extensively about their personal lives, but I never saw like a woman like talk about her work life and then also talk about her family life. So all of my recent speaking engagements, I somehow always try to work in that I'm a working mom.
I think that's great too. I also see it as it's definitely a generational thing.
It's not just a capital D cool glasses designer thing.
I don't think it's a, I think it's also a generational thing. I think Gen Z is going to come in here and openly talk about their
coming
family
in hot.
Life. Coming in hot.
Do y'all say that?
Probably not. You just gave away your generation.
What?
But I do see, you know, women who have been in this industry longer are definitely not bringing up their family life.
Because if you couldn't then. I mean, like,
you
couldn't.
You wouldn't get promotions. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't get to be where
you wouldn't
you're
get
at
the work. Yeah.
If you had this family life. Mm-hmm. And then I really feel like as each generation has gone, they have been more willing and more open to talking about their life outside of the office.
Right.
Without fear of what is that going to mean to my job? I've seen a lot of women that kind of hold back if their partner's doing well or not because they just don't want to share and they don't want it to be an impact on any potential raise or promotions that they could have.
Right. So, you know, I know we started talking like kind of, Eva's talking about her makeup bag. Yeah. And then we're talking a little bit about like what we wore at conferences and stuff. And now we've gotten to like these deeper topics. But then that I'm going to link these things. Follow along.
Do it.
Do you change your personal style and how you would normally dress based on like business meetings or like, do you try to dress more modestly? Do you tone down the makeup? Maybe not makeup because you have a tiny little baby makeup bag.
I have a tiny, I have the essentials. Okay.
we will debate about if they're essentials or not. Danielle, I bet I could expand on that list. But yeah, do you ever like change your personal style to like accommodate a business sense?
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Oh, no. Okay. Not completely. My style's not wild.
I was like, ma'am.
But I do think about the fact if I'm
I'm going to New York City for meetings.
And but there's also an event tied to it, but it's a professional event because it's the Advertising Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of sequence. It's going to be there, a lot of beautiful people. And but I'm going for a variety of different things. Now, and am I going to go, think
I'm going to New York City? I'm going to be top notch. I'm going to like do all the things.
Yeah. I'm going to take heavily into account that I am there for a business meeting. And I am also a business owner. And I will think about what I am wearing and want to be taken seriously while I'm there. I'm not going to be.
Well, by that, but do you mean like, do you wear like less form-fitting clothes? Do you wear like necklines that are higher? Do you wear more like darker colors? Like
I do wear darker colors.
Okay.
I always want to be comfortable and feel really good about whatever I'm wearing.
Yeah.
But
everyone does.
You won't catch me in a low cut shirt when I'm in a meeting. You just won't. But I'm also a high neck girl anyway.
See, that's a different. I am a low neck girl.
Yeah. So it's gotta be hard.
I am. But yeah. There are several things. Oh, sorry, I'll let you continue and then we'll talk about my clothing choices.
I just won't wear, even I feel like even if I did enjoy a low neck, I don't think I would wear it during a board meeting. Am I gonna judge someone else that wears a low neck? No. But
yeah.
But I just don't want that to be a distraction in any way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you feel like you would change your attire a bit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It depends on what I'm doing. One thing I don't think actually has anything to do with like feminine dress or woman's dress, but I always have to decide whether or not I'm going to cover my tattoos.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I had.
And disclaimer, I, Danielle, do not have any tattoos. I have anything against it. I've had a hard time thinking like, what could I commit to?
Yeah. Once you start.
Do you find that you cover them up? Does it depend on the client?
It depends on a lot of stuff. Yeah. So when I was in-house before I was freelancing, I've been getting tattoos since my 20s, but they were all very easily covered up when I was corporate. So like they were none on my arms. There wasn't one on my leg. So now I have a few on my arms, like three, and then I've got one on the back of my leg. So like I have to actively try to cover them.
Sure.
My other ones that I had when I was in corporate are all on my like back and stuff. So like you just can't see them.
Yeah.
If you could see my tattoo when I was at work, we had a lot of questions happening.
Yeah.
So it depends. My more conservative clients, yes, I do cover them up. I do not worry about the one on the back of my leg because it's pretty far down. It's like above my ankle.
Yeah.
It's on the bottom of the calf. So if you like catch, if you see that, because I'm wearing a skirt, I don't worry about that. But I do like make a point to wear sleeves around my arms so that you can't see the ones around my shoulders. If I'm at an event where there's a lot where it's okay to be the creative. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I was going to bring this up too.
Because like, I do feel like, first off, I do feel like tattoos are becoming more socially acceptable in general, but also like in a lot of corporate environments.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, and not just corporate, but just like workplace environments, right?
Yeah.
And like, there's still like some delineation about like certain parts of your body being tattooed still can like be a problem. But
sure. Like you're not going in with a face tattoo.
I'm not, but nobody's going to bat an eye if they see that this piece on the back of my arm, like peeks out from my sleeve a little bit. If I'm getting paid, I'm more likely to cover them up.
Mm.
If I'm a volunteer board member, you will see as many tattoos as I feel appropriate.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's just a personal preference, but it also is a little bit of like, I feel like it's okay for like the creatives to have their tattoos out. And part of that is because like, you know, we're creatives.
Well, I had a professor and it was in our business of graphic design class and he shared in there his personal opinion on
it. Oh, is he mad at me?
No, he would agree with you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He said, and granted, I went to SCAD, so that probably said a lot, but he said,
you think somebody Darla Moore's going to tell you the same thing?
Get the nose ring, get the tattoo. Yeah. Like you got like that shows you're a creative.
Yeah.
And don't hide the fact that you're creative. So go ahead and if you have a tattoo, show it. If you have piercing, show it. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try and hide who you are.
Yeah.
Because if you're hiding who you are, is that a good fit?
Right. And now it's interesting because in my 20s, before I started getting tattoos, I just had piercings because they were easier to hide and easier to take out.
You take them in and out.
And then at one point I had like the whole underside of my hair dyed hot pink and I would just wear my hair down to work. And so like, could you see it if I was walking down the hallway? Yeah. But like, it just meant I couldn't wear my hair up to work. So it was fine. And like, I kind of blurred some of those lines, but yeah. But part of why I didn't get more visible tattoos until after I started freelancing is because now I don't have a boss.
Yeah.
So like I can do whatever I want. So number one, I sometimes cover my tattoos depending on the client. I play a lot with the dimensions of my clothes.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is I'm a low cut and like tight dress type of gal.
Yeah.
Like it's what I wear all summer. That sounds a little scandalous, but it's not. It's not. I'm not a high neck girl.
Right.
I always wear like more like lower cut shirts and I just prefer dresses that are a little bit more form fitting. They're not like, I'm not like looking bananas out
there. No, no.
But
I can agree that she's not looking crazy.
Yeah. But if I'm going into like an environment that I think is really corporate and I'm not really sure how it's going to play, I may wear pants instead of a skirt.
Yeah.
And then I make sure that instead of like a form-fitting pants and a form-fitting top, like it's a loose blouse and form-fitting pants.
Do you think?
Like I play with that dimension, which is also like a good like fashion thing to do, but
I feel like most women listening to this episode are going to relate. Do men have to even think about these things?
I have no idea.
Your average corporate male, do they need to think about these things?
I don't know.
Do they think about
these
things?
I also think, and I could be wrong, and why don't we could ask a man who like has some interest in fashion. I do feel like the range of what's acceptable, like what's professional for a man is more clearly defined.
Oh,
like
sure.
Wildly defined.
I am sure there's a lot of men out there.
And there's nuance.
Like, they want to push the boundaries, get a little more fashionable out in the workplace.
Yeah.
And they
y'all get to wear comfortable shoes all day. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. It's hard to hear them complain about it.
One thing I do not do, I do not change my makeup. Because my day-to-day makeup stays the same.
Yeah.
I just do more eye makeup for like
an evening
events. Same. I don't think a lot about like how I do my hair. My hair is my hair is my hair. And that is an incredibly privileged position to be in because people with our hair texture don't have to think about that. But people in other communities do have to think about their hair and how's that perceived. And a lot of that is not fair to the community. And I'm not going to speak in depth on that because that's not my space to speak. But I realize saying that, like, I don't think about what I do with my hair is an incredibly privileged position to be in.
Yeah, I would fully agree with that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think about it a ton, but I do find like I've got some clients, like some events I do every year that I really need to like be like scaled all the way up. And every year I'm like, I'm gonna wear the same suit jacket I have. Yeah. Let's get some black pants in here because like, I don't wear suits.
Yeah. There was a time
I won.
I went through a big blazer phase.
Well, we all did, boo-boo.
Well, not just to the club.
Did you wear them to the bar? That's what I got to ask. I was like, I had going out blazers and I had work blazers. Spoiler alert, the going out blazers got a lot more traction.
I was talking about actual work. I knew exactly where you're going with that. But I had a lot and I really don't wear them anymore.
So I have one or two that I wear like to very specific events.
Yeah. I am really curious too. I mean, I know this whole conversation's been fascinating to me because it is something we all have to think about every day. But it was funny because it started off as this like, we're gonna talk about networking and why that's important. And then we took an instant left turn.
I'm not even gonna say sorry because I'm not sorry.
No, we're not sorry about this.
Ooh, Danielle got her finger out with it. I'm not sorry.
This is what we think about as women and in this industry all the time. I was about to say business owners, forget that. All of us that
all
are
of
in
us
this
think
industry,
about it.
We have to overly think about what we're wearing, the jewelry we're wearing,
the makeup we're wearing. Do we have to tone it down?
Will people judge us for what our partners do for a living? Will they judge us if we don't have a partner doing that? Will they judge us about our childcare?
Will they judge us if you don't have a child? Will they judge you? Yeah.
All the things. And we're all, this sounds like it's about the Barbie montage. But
I mean, that's fine. I think these things are, sometimes they're subconscious, but sometimes they're conscious.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that like I change.
Well, I've got one.
You want more?
I want your hot take on this.
You know, I love a hot take.
This is the thing that
I like to get sassy.
I feel like people are the most judgy about. Where do you stand on shorts in a meeting?
What?
I knew this would get that reaction.
What? There is no stance.
What's your stance?
There's no stance. Why are you wearing shorts in a meeting? Is it a lifeguard meeting? Do you work at a resort?
Okay, here's the next one then. Do you feel that a romper, that shorts, excludes you from the rule of no shorts during a meeting?
Do not wear a romper to work.
Thank you. Man.
Everybody, listen to me. I know we're in the South, and I know in Charleston, you can, specifically, you can get a little loosey, a little loosey-goosey with, I don't know if it was like shorts. That in Savannah, but I do feel like business casual in Charleston has a very different vibe.
Yeah.
So I don't know if all coastal cities are like that. I feel like Hilton Head and Lake Charleston are like that. But anyways, put pants on.
Put pants on.
And if you don't want to wear pants, because I am typically team no pants. I do not like pants because I like skirts.
Yeah.
So fine. Wear skirts.
They're comfy.
I wear skirts and dresses like all summer.
So I realize we don't like people judging. But if you're wearing shorts,
who are you talking to? Judging. I like judging people all the time.
All right.
Anyways, well this took a turn, but it was good.
It took a lot of turns, but I would be curious too what other things that our listeners overly think about when packing for their networking or going to a meeting.
So I have three questions for our audience if y'all would like to share. If you're a woman, do you resonate with any of this? And is there anything you take into consideration that we did not?
Yeah.
If you're a woman, but you aren't necessarily like feminine presenting.
Yes.
Right. Like your style just trends more like non-binary.
Right.
Or, you know, what have you. Do you have other considerations that you think about? Right.
Yeah.
Like maybe how is this dress too low cut is something that never crosses your mind, but you have something that crosses your mind that I never think about because I refuse to wear pants unless I have to.
Right.
And three, you know, I'm not trying to be exclusionary here. Do any of the men have anything to say about what you have to think about before you walk into a meeting? Are you wearing shorts into a meeting? Unknown man.
All right. I would love to know. Men, do you wear shorts?
Two meetings. I don't want to hear if you wear shorts to a meeting. You know what? DM me because I do want to talk to you. But yeah, those are my questions.
So excellent.
Yeah. All right. Well, this took a turn, but I like it.
This took a turn, but I liked it and I enjoyed it. And I'm sure that a lot of people probably also agree with a lot of the things that we were saying.
Or just like have thoughts. Like I want to know.
All right, ghosties.
Oh, jeez.
That's all we have for you this week, but we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast. And also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.